we're going to start with Cheryl Pidgeon, who is works for the Unite Union, and she's been central to the work in Shirebrook, campaigning against exploitation of East European workers by Ashley, and more recently setting up language classes for the people in Shirebrook.
Thank you.
Would you give her a big welcome?
Certainly.
Everybody for sharing the Thursday evening when I'm sure that we've all got many things to do. Jeannie's right to recognise the effects of Brexit, because it did definitely have put some fears and worries for our students who actually come to our ESOL classes, but not just them, but for their children. The knock-on effect in the schools where they go, and the bullying and harassment saying go back to Poland, and lots of other things that I can't talk about tonight because I've only got 10 minutes, but it has definitely. So the Uniting Sports Direct campaign had quite a few aims. It aimed to end the 0 hours contracts and exploitation, implement permanent contracts for workers, a living wage, a real living wage for all workers, influence public opinion, shareholders and share prices, because that's the only language that Mike Ashley understands. And build union density and organisation to build strength and to move workers from exceptionally precarious working conditions onto permanent contracts. I'll fast forward to the results to date, and I share those with some people that I will mention in a minute who are here in this room. Share prices fell from £8 to £3. We've had international media coverage and solidarity right across Europe. We put forward a resolution at the AGM, an industrial resolution for an independent review of the working practices there, and it's been the best ever UK industrial resolution result, and supported by 53% of the independent shareholders, so that in itself is a coup. We had a 20 pence per hour increase in pay for 28,000 workers on the national living wage. We've had an independent working practices review, a biz select committee report. We've been down to Parliament and the government cross-party committee are now supporting. They actually went and visited a spot check at the factory recently. You probably read in the news or saw on Sky News about how when they handed them the sandwiches, they just slipped a recording device underneath the table. So it shows you that they're still up to the devilish practices that is Sports Direct, not the MPs. We've also widened the debate on precarious practices and widening of the remit of the GLA. What else have we done? We've gained about £1.5 million back pay for workers who've been underpaid according to the National Living Wage, which has been a tremendous result for the union, but more importantly for those workers and their pay packets and their families. We've had the removal, they had a nasty strike system, 6 strikes and you're out. If you looked in the wrong direction, you weren't flavour of the month, you went to toilet and spent a penny and a minute too long, you got strikes. They were indiscriminately dished out, and they were horrific. We've got those removed, and there is now a proper grievance and disciplinary procedure in place, with the right to appeal, of course. They also had the Tannoy name and shame, where if you were out of favour, or you did the wrong thing, or you looked in the wrong direction, or you spoke in the wrong direction, your name would go up on the name and shame. If your performance targets weren't enough, which were ever changing and ever increasing because they never decreased, they were on the wall. So, and also over the Tannoy, you were called out and humiliated in front of colleagues. So that's just a little flavour. We've now also got a welfare officer and site nurse on site. Still more work to be done there. The health and safety conditions at work were horrific. They still are to some extent, but we have made massive improvements. Just for instance, cable ties, locking up fire doors, massive stillagers with only 3 wheels, and I'll go on to more in a minute. And we've got the company to actually give a commitment to zero tolerance on sexual harassment in the workplace. Invariably, young girls were induced by managers of both supervisors and direct management, defined as fresh meat so that the managers could determine, that's right, it's really horrific, who was going to sleep with who, and promised them direct contracts, but which never materialised. We had visual evidence of that. And eventually, we are managing to change the culture of fear. So they are the obstacles, and they are the things that I am very proud that as a team, and I'll talk about the team in a minute, that we have achieved so far. Now, and also a doubling of the membership there, which is vital. But there is still much more work to be done. So how did we achieve that? To achieve it, we had to actually identify the issues facing the workers, collect evidence and overcome the barriers, particularly language, lack of trade union knowledge. Bear in mind that some of the workers came from places where there weren't trade unions, and certainly not trade unions that gave wraparound support like we do nowadays. And there to understand the strength in collective activity and collective organising. So they were some of the barriers that we faced. I just want to say a huge thanks. I'm going to embarrass some people in the room now, but particularly Aubrey, Ian, Sue, Barbara and Anne, who are in this room, who have been absolutely central to all of the work that has been done in terms of delivering ESOL. These people are volunteers, they're fantastic friends and comrades, and they deliver week in, week out to exceptionally vulnerable people. So thanks. Campaign's been so successful is because it's been a coalition of many partners. It's the industrial sector of our union, the community sector of our union, and of course the public and coalitions. So a huge thanks to trades councils, the choirs, and I know that one of the choir, where is he? Singer, yes, star of our Stand and Deliver and many other things is here, so thank you to that. Thank you to the choirs, the Unite activists, the industrial branches, the community branches, other trade unions. We're working with the churches now. We're actually delivering 8 lessons a week to we've had 250 migrant workers register as students. We're working with the churches, the media, retired members, young members, schools, politicians, CLPs, Shirebrook Miners Welfare and the local police, and many more that I've probably forgotten because of time. But thanks to all of those people, but particularly thanks to the facilitators and volunteers. But the most important thanks is to the bravery of those workers who have gone undercover, given us evidence, provided us with real evidence that our people can't lie about. Because Mike Ashley tried to make out there was a wicked union telling wicked lies. But when we went down to the biz committee and took these workers down with us, we had real stories. I've got 2 minutes left, so okay. Many thanks to those. And they trusted us and they came to our classes. They provided us with the information. And now they are being trained to become under the radar organisers for us, and hopefully when we've got we now have a dialogue with Mike Ashley and HR, and we are looking to put a framework agreement in place, so things are moving at a rate of knots. We've got 16 facilitators, as I said. We've done street sales, petitions, lobbying politicians. So why do we do it? Well, there's two greedy agencies involved exploiting human beings for profit, and that's just not acceptable. It's the right thing to do. If we don't do it, this business model will become the norm, not just in this industry, but right across many other industries, and because we're trade unionists. And the conditions at work are horrific. People are walking 25 to 30 miles a day, supervisors screaming faster and faster, babies being born on the toilet floor, heart attacks at work, people are coming to work because they're sick, children are staying at home because the parents dare take time off to work, they're staying home alone. The health and safety is horrendous. People are attending classes with swollen arms, swollen legs, swollen feet, bad backs, you name it, it's happening. So to conclude, organising migrant workers is not for the faint-hearted. But an absolute necessity in the world of our work. Trade unions and governments as well also need to be mindful of the services and benefits that they provide to British workers and British residents, but they're not up to scratch in terms of the services and the language support that they need to get through the horrific HMRC and everything else to do with the DWP. It's not acceptable, so they need to do more. And trade unions need to do more as well. We have had some opposition in the community, to come back to the original point, and we've confronted that, not in a negative way, but we've actually engaged with people and said, you know, this is why we're putting on the classes, because people have challenged us as facilitators and organisers and said, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Shirebrook is a very traditional community, mining community, and people get nervous when new people come in and, you know, start being friendly with migrant workers and offering support. But when we actually say to them, we're doing this because if they can communicate, there's no ghettos, we can build a stronger community, they can shop in our shops, and they can contribute, because many of the students are teachers, nurses, carers, and professionals with exceptionally good qualifications. So we're helping them to build a better life, we're helping them to build a stronger community, and I'm eternally grateful. Thanks.
Very impressive what's happened, and it isn't that long ago that there were some very nasty right-wing demonstrations taking place in Cherbourg, and what's happened actually has shifted things.